extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from Los Angeles, California, you are listening to Extra Time, presented by AT&T 5G. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer in the flesh here in LA in this beautiful ballroom. I promise you, it's like 72 and sunny just outside. It is David Goss, of course. And then in New York, Matt Doyle in Massachusetts, wood grain behind him, as always. Charlie Davies, we're live from LA. I mean, like, actually live. We are on Twitter, we're on YouTube, all the MLS channels. Of course, if you're listening on the podcast, what's up? It's MLS Cup week. We are ready for the big game on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern on Fox Univision, 2 days in. Going to be a great, great day at Bank of California Stadium. I want to say, Dave, we were hearing what tickets are going for up to 15 grand. So high demand.
Well, easy time to get it. Get in now because those prices are going to go up.
Yeah, look, it's like,
I already bought two at that price just to have them, just
right.
In case.
Yeah, you got to watch out though. Interest rates a little crazy when you're financing
obviously.
These things. Let's jump into it. We've got some great interviews coming up. We're talking to both coaches, Steve Cherundolo, Jim Curtin, Daniel Gazdag will be here, Ale Bedoya, Maxime Crapeau, Ryan Hollingshead. We will dig in with them. We will go through the game, all the nitty gritty with Doyle and Charlie. But history is being made this week. I just want to put that out there. For everybody who doesn't know, Matt Doyle may be in his customary spot, cats crawling around him here at some point, but he is coming to LA. He's getting on an airplane. He is actually coming to the event. Doyle, how, why, what is this a sign
of
the rapture?
I want it on the record that I was ready and looking forward to going to All-Star in Minnesota this summer, right? But somebody, I don't know who, maybe it's the guy producing the show, just like pulled the rug from under me right at the last minute. No All-Star. So I am happy that I'll be getting on the plane. I'll be joining everybody, having fun in downtown Los Angeles. And you know what I'm most excited about this, Weeby? Our hotel is right off the metro.
Couldn't possibly
guess.
It's
right off the metro. So I'm going to go to LA and I'm only going to take public transit. I'm going to be the most New York person in all of Los Angeles. And I am jacked about that.
And also, you know, his allergies are going to explode.
Yeah.
So he'll genuinely be the most
it's
New York
just the
person.
Tradition unlike any other, which is to blame Anders for any and all things that you might actually be to blame for.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
Yeah, we got a long show here today, and if I make it go long and interrupt the Commissioner's State of the Union, that's Anders' fault, all right? It is not on me. I am not doing that. By the way, Doyle is here. Charlie will be here as well, jumping on a plane to join us. That's because we're doing pre- and post-game on MLS channels. So obviously Fox has the game. If you're listening and watching in Spanish, Univision Tudien. But before they go on and after they go on, additional coverage, interviews, we're going to be roaming around, getting those for you, previewing all the nitty-gritty. When the lineups come out, we'll be there for you as well. We don't have much time. We have 30 minutes until guys start filing through to do interviews. So we gotta preview this game. We got to do it quick. Yes, Charlie, I see you making the come on now motion. Let's just get into it. What are you most excited for, Charlie? What gets you jacked up about this particular MLS
Cup?
I'm
really excited to go to the game and watch the two teams play. I'm pumped! Let's go! The midfield!
Oh my God.
Give me three versus the Union's four. LAFC's dynamic three, and just we know what the Union bring with their transition game, that press, the tempo, the intensity. LAFC's playing at home. Give me all of it. But that's where I'm really looking forward to in the nitty-gritty, the midfield battle, who can win.
No one's been more excited about midfield shapes, numbers, and a battle than Charlie Davies.
I don't think Charlie's ever been this excited about
midfield. I thought
you
had laryngitis.
I knew I could get
we went through pre-show meetings.
Well, it was the peanut butter stuck in his throat from the ants on a log he just ate.
For sure. A little snack right before the show, of course. Jump in for me, Doyle. What are you excited about? What gets you going?
I was going to say the fact that I'm going to get to take mass transit in L.A., which, again, I'm really jacked about. I was going to say this is time that we're going to see the two best teams in the league, hands down the two best teams in the league, number one in the Eastern Conference, number one in the Western Conference, face off in MLS Cup since 2003. But honestly, since Charlie's talking about the midfield battle, like just the idea of this 4-3-3 LAFC always getting access to the half spaces, and of course the diamond 4-4-2 that Philly, just with the positioning of those shovelers, they deny access to those half spaces. Two teams that love to get out and counterattack, but maybe aren't going to let each other. Really going to be this very in-depth granular tactical battle. I'm right there with Charlie, man. Like, we're seeing eye to eye on this. That is hands down
the most
exciting thing of this week. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. I grant you that. I like the soccer side. I'm going to turn it mainstream, flip it back around. You and I were here, Dave, for the first game at the bank. We were here to witness the 32-52. I still remember doing our post-game hit in front of them as they were celebrating Laurent Simon's goal. And I remember the goosebumps that I got. And that was in their very first game in the building as a fan group. That was just like the first run out. They've had years now to hone everything, the game experience, how they tailgate, how they get ready for games, how they make it feel like a big event. That's what I'm excited for. What these fans are going to do, what this moment's going to mean to them, and then obviously getting that bacon-wrapped hot dog after the game, nearly killing myself with the calories, with the heat, with whatever it is, like sweating through it and just being like, oh my God, what a wonderful experience. But if you haven't been to the bank for a game, one, get here. As we said, if you want to go to this game,
15K.
Hope you saved up. Yeah. Three, just being there, being at MLS Cup for me, it's been a couple years. And sometimes you can sort of forget that buzz, that feeling of being in the building, of being there for the ultimate prize, of watching guys celebrate, seeing what it means to them, being on the field as they're hugging their families, taking their kids around, looking at each other and just thinking, my God, these years, these months, these days of prep, all this pressure, all these different things we put into this, it all pays off. Like, these are the special days in sports. When somebody wins, and the flip side of that is there's the agony of somebody losing, but being there to witness it all, I mean, for me, there's nothing better in this job. Nothing.
Yeah. And for me, what's so special is you had us list out the things in advance we were going to say. You skipped mine, and then you proceeded to name everything that's involved at the championship game and left me nothing, which... Some things cost money. Some things are priceless.
I just want to point this out. Charlie and I are here talking about like two of the greatest teams in recent, maybe in the league's history, getting to match up in MLS Cup. Weeby's out here talking about getting wrapped hot dogs. That's
danger
that's
dog.
Extra, that's
and I don't apologize for it. And I refuse to apologize for it. There's nothing. I took everything. There's not a single thing you can think of.
Oh, for myself?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go somewhere in between. You guys are talking tactical. Weeby's talking about whatever it is Weeby talks about. I do appreciate these two teams being celebrated for the way they've built and deserving to be here. Not that any team that gets to this point doesn't, but both of these teams are five-year processes to get to this spot, and they got here because they had a belief in a North Star that they build towards, right? For Philly, it's who they are as they sit in spending in the league, what they want to do with their academy, the style they play. And for LAFC, it is taking advantage of LA and being the LA team and being swagger and, you know, black and gold and sort of the other side to the LA Galaxy. And so both these teams, I think, have handled themselves the right way and in different ways. And that's one of the things we've seen in Major League Soccer, I think, going back to Seattle and TFC and the way they won and Atlanta coming in and other teams, is now other teams are going to follow those models. And so to see that rewarded is good for Major League Soccer, because I think it's going to lead to more teams taking a step back and saying, okay, no, not who's our number 10. What's our identity? What's our DNA?
Who are we?
And then how do we get there in 5 years? And I think the league's better off for that. And Philly and LAFC are both examples of it.
You love to see two teams that have never been here before. First MLS Cup for both. We pounded that home. Everybody knows it. Neither have obviously won MLS Cup because they haven't been here. You know what it means to them, though. LAFC have talked, not just this year, but for years about this being the ultimate prize. They won Supporter Shield and were kind of like, that was cool. We appreciate it. It goes in the trophy cabinet, but ultimately it means we get to host MLS Cup. Now we got to get there. Now we got to win it. Well, they're here. Can they do it? Carlos Vela signed before anybody else was here, made that commitment. Can he deliver on the promise that was when he signed early on? Steve Cherundolo in his very first year. Can he get them over the hump that Bob Bradley couldn't before? On the flip side, Jim Curtin's been here for 9 years. He was on one-year contracts. We were wondering when they were going to pull the rug out. It never happened. He just stuck around, two times coach of the year, now in another final, his fourth.
You know why? Because he listened to ETR.
Does he?
I'm pretty sure back in the day he did when he was trying to figure out if he was going to get picked up again.
Every year, Gossman. Now he's probably tuned us out in the last 5 years.
He was listening to ETR to see what the job openings would be around the league, and now he's chilling.
Now he's like, I got bigger things to worry about, like who I'm going to wear to the game on Saturday. All right, we got these interviews coming. When they arrive, we'll give you our predictions, unless Doyle somehow just dips out. Let's get
he's
started.
He's got to get on a flight.
Line by line, not till Friday. MLS Cup, line by line.
Doyle likes to get to the airport early.
I am that guy.
I don't believe that at all. Wow. See, I'm more like, no, we won't dig into
it. It's a domestic flight. I got to be there 3 hours early plus traffic.
Yo, I got
to
get
Shake Shack.
Come on, man.
Nice. No free ads. MLS Cup, line by line. Let's start with the goalkeepers. I will take this one. I went and looked up sort of the underlying stats. American Soccer Analysis is where I always go, but you can get them anywhere. You know, like Second Spectrum has been awesome for us this year, giving us all the behind-the-scenes data. Andre Blake has prevented almost 9 goals that the model would have expected to be scored. That's second in the league to Georgi Petrovic. He's the goalkeeper of the year. He is arguably the best goalkeeper in the history of this league, and we'll have an opportunity to debate that, I think, if they win MLS Cup and if he pulls a Sean John. The flip side is Maxime Crépeau, who was so good last year for Vancouver, has been not quite at that level. So while he's a great MLS keeper, he's been good this year, maybe not at his best, I would argue, and maybe we'll ask him about that here in a little bit.
Welcome on the show, Maxime. Yeah, that's Andrew Wiebe.
Now that I've said that, I'll have to own that. But Andre Blake, to me, Charlie, is the clear edge and one of the biggest advantages for the Union in any game they play in, let alone MLS Cup.
Facts. It's just, you know what you're going to get from him. Consistency, and he's capable of pulling not just one, multiple, like, miraculous saves where he has to stretch out behind him. There's a breakdown on the weak side. He can get from his near post to his far post in a split second and make that big time save. I've seen it in training, in matches. I've seen it trying to score against him. He's a phenomenal keeper. He keeps them in the game, and that's why I think this game is going to be extremely close. Even if LAFC are the better side playing at home, no matter what, he gives the Union a chance to win this game.
Do you feel like you've seen an evolution in Andre?
Yes.
Because I remember when he was drafted. I remember interviewing him around those times, like seeing him, sort of observing him from afar. He was a quieter guy. But it seems like now, and look, it's been many years. I think he's the longest tenured player on this team. It seems like he's really decided that he is going to own the leadership aspect of being that guy, of being the guy that's been there, who is the foundation, who is the best goalkeeper in the league. He owns it, and it's awesome
yes.
to see.
And it's, I'd say, more in the minutiae of being a goalkeeper. His ability to come out into the box on crosses, it was pretty poor early on. He couldn't make a decision, and sometimes he was very shaky even when he did come out. Now, when he comes out, it's his ball. There's no question. Everyone clears the way. He knows when to come out too. And then the shots to a low far corner, sometimes you struggle with that. Now he gobbles it up. It's really not even an issue. So I would say from his performances in that standpoint, he's grown tremendously. Now as a leader, you can see it. He's speaking up. He's, when Bedoya's out, he's stepped up in his absence, holding guys accountable, barking out commands, pushing lines up, telling guys when to be a little bit quicker on the ball. It's honestly one of the best things I've seen in terms of a player's maturity and that development. It's really a kudos to Andre Blake and what he's been able to do.
You could hear Charlie drool a little when he had shots to the far corner. Like that's how Charlie was beating Andre Blake back in the day, and it's not open anymore.
Give us the scouting report on Maxime. Yeah, the shop's closed. Yeah, those were good days for Charlie in training. On Maxime, give us
a
scouting report.
Yeah, he's been a little bit inconsistent, Andrew. Like he was amazing last year, especially the second half of last year for Vancouver. That was a system in which he was seeing a ton of shots. He was so busy every single game. He had to stand on his head, and to his credit, he did. They don't sniff the playoffs if he doesn't perform like that. And things are probably a lot different in Vancouver if he hadn't been that good. It's a different thing going from that to a LAFC team that doesn't allow you to face as many shots. You're not as involved necessarily. And I think that's been an adjustment for him. He's been good, but he's also had some moments where you're left scratching your head a little bit. And I think the big difference this year is he hasn't been a match winner. Now, granted, they don't really ask you to be a match winner much for LAFC if you're the goalkeeper. And even with him maybe not quite living up to what he did last year, he's still the best goalkeeper they have ever had at this, you know, at this club. But there's a gap between him and Andre Blake. Like if we do it, you know, 48 hours from now, we're talking, we're like, yeah, Andre Blake was the best player on the field today. He's the MLS Cup MVP. All of us would be sitting there. Yeah, that's totally, we kind of saw that coming. If we're saying that about Maxime Crépeau, I think we'd all be pretty shocked at that. But I mean, it's one game. He could get hot. We've seen it happen before. We see it. Seen it happen to LAFC before. The on decision day, Joe Willis stood on his head, and he wasn't having his greatest year either. Tied the league record for saves. That type of, you know, that type of performance, Maxime Crépeau, he has it in his bag.
Doesn't matter what the underlying numbers are in the past. It's one game. It's 90, maybe 120 minutes. Blank slate, trophy on the line, Philip Afanschutz, Maxime Crépeau, but he's going to have different center backs in front of him probably. It doesn't seem like Giorgio Chiellini is going to, I don't know, maybe I'm guessing. Doesn't seem like he would start. What do you think, Doyle? Take us to the back lines, compare and contrast it, and get us started on LAFC and that big decision in the middle for Steve Cherundolo.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive decision, and part of it is defensive. If it's not Giorgio Chiellini, is it going to be Eddie Segura, who's missed a couple of weeks now? Those are second and third on the depth chart in some order. If it's neither of those two guys, then you go to Sebastian Ibiaga, who's probably the best fourth-string center back in the entire league. But he's a fourth-string center back. And that's just a massive gap between, you know, the two guys who you're spending so much money on to put out on the field and a guy who's there breaking case of emergency situations. Well, this might be the emergency. We saw him play the second half, in the conference final against Austin. I thought he was very good, but he also changes the way LAFC can play because he can't distribute the ball the way Chiellini or Segura can. So in the first half of that game, Austin was selling out to prevent Chiellini to dictate play from that back line. And by doing that, they opened everything up for Jesus Murillo to just drop one after another over that, the midfield shape and onto whether it was Dennis Bouanga or Cifuentes coming out of midfield or Carlos Vela even ran into space one time. So that is the big question for both of these teams is who's going to partner Jesus Murillo in the middle of that LAFC back line. The rest of it, we could all, it's going to be Palacios on the left side for LAFC, Ryan Hollingshead on the right side. For for Philadelphia, it's going to be Kai Wagner on the left side, Olivier Mbaizo on the right side, and then it's going to be Jack Elliott and Jakob Glesnes in at center back. And LAFC is a really good defense. They're the third best defense in the league this year. Philadelphia is the second best defense of all time. It's just part of that's Andre Blake, but part of it is the two best center backs on the field are going to be in Union colors. It's this is a team that is built to shut you out, man.
Edge, goalkeeper, and the back line. I think I speak for you in that sense. Do I interpret that correctly? Both going to the Union right now? Okay, Charlie. 4-3 midfield. This is what you're excited for. The stage is yours.
Well, when I'm looking at the two, now had Bedoya been fully fit, it's a different Union midfield. And without...
Hold on. Can I just... No, let me... I'm going to make you go on the record right now. Is Ale Bedoya going to start... I just want to hear you say the words, yes or no.
In my mind, no. It's not possible. He lasted 30 minutes.
Say it with your chest, Charlie.
He said he only could run really at full strength for 30 minutes, and that was not even his full strength, okay? So what I'm going to say is there's no way that he can start this game, knowing that he could only go about 30, 35 minutes without and then having to, struggle to get to halftime. You can't do it because if you're forced to pull a substitution before halftime, you're burning one of your three substitution entries. So for me, you just can't do that. Now, who comes in for him? Jack McGlynn. Great pass for the ball. Lacks mobility. Lacks the transition game that Bedoya has getting, north and south at such a quick pace. So given that, Ilya Sanchez, Cifuentes, Kellen Acosta, they are, for me, they take the midfield battle over the four in Martinez, Flock, Gazdag, and McGlynn. Now, Gazdag has been phenomenal in getting into the attacking half, attacking third, scoring goals, making, late runs in the box. Given a chance, he's been finishing. And you can't take that away from him. He's been phenomenal this year. I think he's played leaps and bounds above where people thought he was going to play. People thought he was going to be good. but this good? I don't think so. And then Flock, he's just a ball winner, tough tackler, doesn't give you much in terms of offense production, but defensively, winning second balls, help defending, you can count on Leon Flock. He's been really consistent throughout the whole year in those responsibilities, and he plays to his strengths. He doesn't try and do too much. And given that Martinez is like the wild card, he's the X factor, liable for an elbow, liable for a late challenge.
Could be best player on the field or a red card inside of 15 minutes.
Or a red card in five. You know, yeah. You don't know. Yeah. Given that, I'm going LAFC at home. Kellen Acosta, Cifuentes, absolute beasts. Cover every inch of grass. And then Ilya Sanchez, he's the conductor. He's finding the right spots because of his positioning and his smarts tactically. He doesn't need to do too much. He's very intelligent with his movement, and then he's quick with his decision. So that's, for me, they get the nod.
All right, LAFC have the edge in the midfield. I'm going to switch things up for you on the forward line, Charlie. Can I put Gazdag into that so it's like a three-on-three situation? So it's Bulanga, yeah, Chicho, sure. And Vela. No. Because no. Gazdag is sort of more... No.
I love the imagination, but no.
No?
I'm going to stop that right now.
It's not imagination, no. Charlie.
It's not imagination. Tied for second most goals scored in Major League Soccer.
So let's throw in every attack.
Carranza had an assist to Gazdag.
Wow.
Well done.
Someone's very dogmatic about shape.
No.
Come on, Charlie. Okay, so take us through the forward line then, and I would encourage you to include Gazdag in the Union side, but obviously
no.
You will do what you do.
So I'm gonna go.
Got it.
Three, which is LAFC, and you could for giggles, let's just throw in Gazdag, LAFC all day. It's not even close.
Whoa.
But what Philadelphia Union does well with their two, and in your case three, is the work ethic, the work rate with these three. Both sides of the ball, constantly running, constantly being a threat. You know, some days Mikel Uhr looks like someone who's playing in Champions League. Some days the ball's bouncing off his shins and he's just not in the game. But you know you're getting 100% commitment with his runs. And in those games where he's not really effective, guess who picks up the slack? It's been Carranza. And it's worked perfectly. And that's they've kind of set the tone for the Union with their press. And sometimes their defense is their best offense. Given that, the best player on the pitch is Carlos Vela. He's in that front three. Dennis Bouanga has been a sensation. And it's just been such a short time with LAFC. He hasn't even scratched the surface of how good he can be. And then you have Arango, who's been banging in goals for fun. You bring Gareth Bale in, that lights a fire under him. And he's not looked back since. So good that they couldn't even say, hey, Gareth Bale, we might have wanted to put you in as a nine. That was the ideal situation for you. But because Christian Arango is absolutely on fire, he's not moving. We are rolling. We are on this train, and he is leading the line, and nothing's changing, no matter how good you are. That's a fact. So for me, LAFC, they have the nod in both the midfield and the attacking trio. You can't beat that. That is just a phenomenal trio right now, who know exactly how each other plays. They're creating for each other. There's a lot of unselfish play. I mean, Bouanga probably could have had two goals and three assists last match. But besides that, that's a very dynamic trio.
Very creative with the numbers. Very dogmatic about the lines. Is Charlie Davies. There's four men in the midfield. There's not three attackers for the Union. It's 2-2 right now, Dave. We have bench and coach to go, and we'll get into these interviews. Take me through the bench options. Who do you think has the better ability to change?
In terms of depth, though, of bench, that's where LAFC has a clear advantage, and that's where I think it's going to become the two. Because Charlie just said, you know, when Michael Uwa has faltered over the last few weeks, it's been Carranza to pick up the slack. That's not true. It's been Corey Burke. And so I think Corey Burke might be the best bench option in this game, but behind him and McLean, Jim Curtin doesn't use anyone else on his bench. And if someone, God forbid, gets hurt, Charlie just left.
Yeah, I was going to say, where did Charlie go? What happened here?
The disrespect to
Charlie so upset about?
The disrespect to Opoku is mind blowing.
Mahalo.
I knew he was mind blowing.
That's fair.
Holy.
That's fair. Listen, that's fair. Corey Burke, I think Corey Burke carries more for this team when he does come on the field, and what he's done, especially in the last game, I think is bigger for Philadelphia, to the point where I've asked all week, should he not start in this game? Because Uwe, I think, has struggled in the two playoff games. And, okay, fine, you went down 1-0. That's it against NYC at home. Can you afford that against LAFC? Either way, LAFC has the advantage in having Opoku. They have the advantage in having center backs they can rotate through. Franco Escobar came off the bench in the last game for them, right? Ryan Hollingshead was supposed to be their backup left back, who was a borderline all-star the last 2 years. Now he's starting at right back. Like, they have a ton of options. They have a ton of flexibility in the way they can change the games, the options they can bring in. I also look at this game, and one of the things that we've talked about all week, and I talked about it with Jaime Macias on Monday and brought it up a couple times, is
MLS Today, folks.
On MLS Today, is I think LAFC is fresher at this point because they're a deeper team. And they've added Gareth Bale and Chiellini and all these pieces and Dennis Bouanga, where not everyone has started the games. Glesnes and Elliott and Bedoya. I mean, Bedoya started 31 games this year at 35 years old. Like, you could barely walk into this room today at a similar age. Just kidding. Yeah. I'm the one limping.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I just had to throw that
out
there.
I'm doing fine, folks.
Yeah. So I think it's a clear advantage for LAFC, and yet I wouldn't be shocked if we sit down for the show on Saturday and Corey Burke and Jack McGlynn came off the bench and won the game for Philly.
All right, take me to the coach's side, Doyle. Who has the advantage here? Jim, been here, done that, long time. This is, I want to say, as a coach's fourth final. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him about it, but we won't talk about what happened in those other three for the Union. You can probably guess. And then Steve Trundle in year one as a first division manager, of course, Las Vegas Lights last year, is in MLS Cup and almost to the promised land. Who has the edge there in your mind?
It's close. It's like there's a good argument for Steve Trundle just because of how he's sort of dialed back a lot of the aesthetic things about LAFC that made them a darling of this show and pretty much every other. Over the first 4 years under Bob Bradley, they were so committed to using the ball. They were so committed to pressing high and to playing sort of a different type of soccer than we've seen in this league. And it led them to incredible heights, but they kind of boxed themselves in with it. They didn't have a plan B in a lot of their games. And this time of year, like the Sounders or RSL, teams had a way of taking advantage of that. Steve Trundle, like I said, he's dialed that back. LAFC, they can be completely confident, pinging balls over the top as they did against Austin. They can be completely confident, stringing together 19 pass goal scoring sequences as they did against the Galaxy. They can be completely confident scoring on set pieces as they did against both. And oh, by the way, as per the underlying numbers and just the eye test, they're the best team in the league on the counterattack this year. So they can draw their line anywhere. They can beat you just about any way that you want to come at them. And Steve Trundle deserves a lot of credit for that. I still give Philadelphia the edge because we've seen.
I was wondering where who are you giving the edge to?
Doyle started with you could make the argument for Trundle, yes. Which here felt it like is. He was going to.
Yeah, I mean it's a really good argument. He's had a great year, and this is a guy who, you know, last year was coaching in the second division for one of the worst teams in that division in Las Vegas Lights. So he's come from that to really taking a team full of superstars and getting the most out of them. But, you know, with Jim Curtin, we've seen it now. He's been able to guide his team to four finals playing various styles, always undermanned in terms of the amount of talent that he has at hand. We've seen years, remember the Osino year when it was toggling between like an energy drink soccer 4-4-2 diamond and like a Berhalter style spread out 4-2-3-1, like just adjusting on the fly in the middle of the game like that. We saw last year, this team, you know, before the additions of Carranza and Ura, before even Daniel Gazdag got there, they got all the way to the CONCACAF Champions League semifinals. And folks, they outplayed Club America in the semifinals of the CCL. They just don't have the high-end firepower to win games like that. Well, now with the additions of Ura and Carranza, who had, I think, 27 regular season goals between them, with the leveling up of Daniel Gazdag, who had 22 regular, that's 49 regular season goals for the front line that Charlie Davis says is nowhere near LAFC.
he said it with his chest.
He absolutely said it with his chest.
Yeah, I'll stand by that.
I give the advantage to Philadelphia, but I genuinely don't think that this is going to be a game won by the coaches. I think in a cup final, this is a game that's won special players making special plays. And I have confidence that both of these coaches are going to do the right things and put their teams and their best players into situations to make those plays.
I'll genuinely say,
Can I say one
it's a
thing?
Draw for me and coaches. It's a clear draw. I played with one, played for one. And I think the growth for both has been, especially Jim Curtin, managing players, understanding the X's and O's, but then managing personalities and getting everyone to play for him and play for each other, play for the city, for the club. Phenomenal. And for Steve Cherundolo, like Doyle said, coaching youth and then all of a sudden, and young professionals, all of a sudden coaching superstars, world superstars, and getting them to work together. Just job well done.
Charlie's thing was better than what I
Yeah.
because he played with one
That's
and played 4-1.
Yeah, yeah. You can back away if you'd like.
No, I was going to say, Doyle, you can just say one word answer and dismiss this. I just have to put it out there. Do you think there's any chance LAFC comes out 5 in the back, Philly comes out 5 in the midfield, and one of these coaches throws something wild?
A Greg Vanney-esque, maybe, TFC.
Yeah, but even that TFC team, they had played that diamond.
I just needed to be dismissed.
Yeah,
I needed to feel that.
I don't think so. I think both these teams have too good an idea of who they are to throw a wrinkle that sort of undercuts the whole ethos of what they have done this entire season.
Since Doyle did say special players are going to make this game, right, be the difference maker, who has more special players? Like, who does it come down to?
UConn Huskies.
Okay.
Come on, man. I'm
I didn't even know they had a song.
Right here. Okay.
MLS MVP or MLS Goalkeeper of the Year, MLS Cup MVP. That's the guy, man.
I feel like, okay, let's – Maxime Crepeau's running late. We're waiting for some interviews to come, so we have a little bit of time. Let's rank those difference makers. Who's the top difference maker individually in this game? Charlie, who's your number one?
Carlos Vela.
Okay, we have Carlos Vela, number one.
My headphones off, and I'm walking away.
He's out of here. Who would be your number two then?
Andre Blake.
Okay, Doyle, give us number three here.
Can I take the center back tandem for Philadelphia?
Nope. Say a name.
I'll take Elliott.
Wow. Ooh,
interesting.
Okay, I will take Chicho Arango. I'll take Daniel Gosdag. Sorry, I'm waffling here.
Weeby's got a
Gosdag's
list.
Gosdag's going to be
Weeby's
here.
Weeby's got a list, David. That's what I'm going to list.
It was running through my head live. Okay, so I'm taking Gosdag. Charlie, you're back up. Who's next?
Cifuentes.
Cifuentes is going to have...
Okay.
Here's the thing about Sifu.
I thought he struggled against Austin, and he's going to have a hard time.
Not for me.
I thought he's gonna have a hard time impacting this game, what with him being in Leon Flock's back pocket and all. You know, it's going to be really tough for him.
See where this Eastern Conference, where you have a strong feeling that the Eastern Conference is going to take this one down.
Well, we'll get his prediction later unless Doyle runs away.
The other thing about Sifu I will say is he's had some incredible performances in big games. He gets himself a lot of chances. He hasn't finished that well in
the
big moments. And that's where it's... Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Charlie, but you're asking who's going to change the game. I don't think it's going to be the guy who does it.
Okay.
Give me game
one
changer.
Goal
you
one
have
assist in the past 4 months, I think.
Did you watch the game against Austin?
I did. I didn't think he was particularly good against Austin. He had that one nice run out of midfield for Maria Longball in the first half. But other than that, he was not super influential.
Look, we still have Dennis Bwanga's on the board here, Dave. Chicho Arango's on the board. Ura Carranza.
Yeah, I'm going to say Julian Carranza.
Kai Wagner.
Well, Kai Wagner actually
Ryan
is a really good one.
I mean,
well, so now you just named the whole team.
Yeah,
there's only 22.
I got to live up to my reputation.
Are we going
I don't know what we're doing.
Like players who will come up with something special to win this game.
Weeby wants you to pick who will be the match winner in the game. We are now 17 players into 22
I gave you the list. It's done.
So there's only a few
options. The list has been delivered. We are here at MLS Media Day, and we're going to have to send Doyle and Charlie to the side.
Charlie, we're
going
to talk to one of your former coaches. Talk to one of your former teammates.
Jim Curtin is here
Let's
with
go,
us.
Jim.
So, Jim, can I say welcome for one?
Thanks for having me.
Two, can I ask you what happened to the Prada jacket I saw in the celebrations? Is it dry cleaned? Is it ruined? And who are you wearing on Saturday? I say who because obviously it's a designer. This isn't just your garden variety Adidas tracksuit.
Yeah, so the jacket got destroyed. You know, it was waterproof, so it did repel a lot. And it was actually in better condition than I thought. The smell was not great. Smell was champagne, which is a good smell, but it'll get dry clean. I think it'll survive. It's worth it.
When do you wear that again?
I picked up a new one yesterday.
Same model?
Different? No, different. Blue. Okay. Blue, but yeah.
I think that jacket should not be dry cleaned, and it should go in a case somewhere. That should be like Union history. There should be like in a museum of some sort.
Yeah, but it's going to rot.
A couple of assistants asked for it already.
Well, they just want a Prada jacket.
Yeah, I was going to be next in line for that one. All right, let's dive in here. I remember a time for you early in your coaching career where we were talking about one-year deals for Jim Curtin.
He remembers too.
And now you're here wearing designer labels on the sideline with a perennial contender, winning coach of the year not for the first time but for the second time in MLS Cup. Personally, how has this journey to this point felt for you?
Yeah, I think you're making too much about the Prada stuff, first of all. It's just fun. I think there's beauty in simplicity. I think that's the way our team plays, too. So it's a simple jacket. It's a nice jacket, and it's comfortable, and it's functional. So it's just like our team. So, look, again, we've come a long way as a club. We've really grown and taken steps forward each and every year. You know, the achievement of getting to your first MLS Cup from this group has been something that I'm incredibly proud of. Great team, really fun team to watch, and obviously sets up for an amazing final with, I think, the two best teams in the league, which doesn't happen often.
For you, for your growth from the years and now this team, where have you changed the most? What have you developed the most?
Oh, man. Look, I think I was given time from ownership to make mistakes and learn and grow on the job, which doesn't happen so often in pro sports. So we had a system and a plan in place that we stuck to, which often doesn't happen. So I'm really grateful for that to Jay Sugarman. Obviously, we've had great players along the way. The job that Ernst Tanner's done with putting together a roster, I'll just say in a unique way, in a Philadelphia Union way, has been really, really fun to be a part of. And working with these players each and every day, great personalities, a lot of characters, 13 different countries represented, age 16 all the way up to 35, old man Bedoya. And it's just a great group, and I really enjoy every day that we get to share together.
Was there a shift sort of in game model for you guys? Because I think about some of your teams that we would talk about as like, okay, they're going to control the ball, they're going to spread the field, and now it feels more under Ernst. Maybe you could explain, maybe it's not just Ernst, more of a territory control and more of a pressing team, more of a vertical team, so
yeah, look, through the years, sneakily have had four sporting directors, which usually a coach doesn't survive four changes like that, and they all had different ideas of how to play and the ways to play from, you know, Rennie Muhlenstein, who was briefly with us, that people kind of forget about. Obviously, Ernie Stewart, incredible soccer mind, but wanted to have the ball, and it was very Dutch and possession based. But I think you can learn and take things from each of those types of playing, and we've kind of blended them together and come out with our own way of playing. And obviously now it is more based on us being comfortable not having the ball, which I think can still be a fun way to play, and we can score goals too. So really, I think you have to take all those different things that I got to learn through the years as positives and not negatives.
Different ideas have come together. Multiple Coach of the Year awards. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Who did you vote for this year?
I voted for Wilfred.
Okay.
So you're going to get me in trouble. But
now
Steve's going to be pissed. There were so many good candidates this year. You know,
five or six, really.
Stevie Cherundolo had a great year, incredible year. And then I don't think people realize how hard it is to deal with that much change in the middle of a year and still get better, you know, so that was an incredible job. Pat Noonan did amazing. Josh Wolf, Wilfred was the one I voted because he had to navigate Champions League. Look, he has but they have a great roster for sure, but I think he maximizes everything there, and they don't quite spend, you know, at the top
You're
of the league.
You're a Philly Union coach. You get to say whatever you want.
Yeah, no, so look, I liked how he approached things, and I like how he did it in a kind of a quiet, humble way. I think another guy that I think he learned under, four or five different coaches, and has a lot of different ideas and was finally able to make them his. So I think he did the best job, better than me, to be honest, but it's the old whose name do you want in the record books, yours or someone else's,
Exactly.
So it does come back to I'm really grateful for everyone who voted for me, but I think he was more deserving than I was.
Who's sitting over the fireplace? Jim's got his food, so. Can I ask you this? I mean, this is a crazy time in Philly to be in this position.
Incredible.
Like, it's just an absolute party. It seems like the city's on fire. What is it like for you, being sort of, you know, native son, to experience all of this together at once?
Yeah, look, we've been able to get down to the Phillies games during the playoffs, which has been awesome. Our players interacting with their players, got to meet with the Sixers. Obviously, the Eagles are undefeated right now, too, so there's a real buzz in the city, and everybody's excited. You know, Philly, we get sometimes a negative rap with our fans because we speak the truth and we tell you when you're not good, and we love you when you are. So I think it's a really loyal city in that regard, and I think our fans are really knowledgeable. So right now we are thriving in a way that I've never seen in my lifetime, and hopefully all the teams can kind of finish the deal, and there's still work to do, and every team still has to try to lift that final trophy, but we're all in a really good spot right now, and to see all the players interacting together, the coaching staffs, seeing each other, it's been special. And walking around the neighborhood, you get recognized a lot on Halloween, that's for sure, when we're having success.
A lot of people dressed up as Jim Curtin.
A tall, skinny, curly-haired albino guy. No, just
but you are the Philly guy, and for this team, we've talked a bit this week about the Sons of Ben and how this team even was created by the fans, for the fans, and then some lean years, and now where it stands now, what did it feel like on Sunday to sort of be able to celebrate, and what does it feel like, and what will it mean to win MLS Cup for those fans?
Yeah, look, I think the coolest thing about this matchup is you have, I think, the two best teams in the league this season, but you also have the two best fan bases, which that doesn't happen a lot either. Our fans are as passionate as anybody. You know, the stadium was electric in the Eastern Conference Final. You were there. You know, it was wild. And
singing with everyone.
Yeah, look, it's not the biggest stadium in the league. It's not the newest or the fanciest, but it's become like, I want it to maybe down the road become our league's version of a Wrigley Field, where it's got that kind of mystique slash, just like a ballpark instead of a stadium, and it has a real soul to it, which is cool. So we love it. It's ours. And our fans do an incredible job of making that place a fortress. And they're as excited as anybody. I know they're all traveling out here right now, and they're going to be cheering us on. But it's a really special time and something you have to really cherish, because it's not easy to get to finals, especially now when there's 28 teams and 28 good teams in the league now. It's really harder to make it this far.
We'll talk about that in a second, the final experience, what you've learned. But I got to ask about Ale Bedoya.
Yeah.
I'm watching, I'm like Instagram reporting him. He's riding his bike around Huntington Beach, I want to say.
Charlie are making bets.
Yeah, Charlie says he doesn't think that you could start him based on what happened in that Eastern Conference Final. And I'm wondering what was going through your mind as you saw him sort of start to pull up and point and be like, I don't know. And how do you then approach that decision? Is it possible that he can start this match?
Yeah, look, I think I give him a ton of credit because he did an amazing job getting us to the final and given everything. And as a coach, you're weighing, is it best to start him? Is it best to bring him off the bench? You have things like extra time that can get a little dicey, penalty kicks, who wants to take a penalty kick? And also, Ali, gutted it out for 45 minutes. He hadn't played in almost 6.5 weeks, so we knew the fitness side was going to be difficult. There was a moment in about the 28th minute where he kind of gave me like this isn't going as I had hoped. But then he got like maybe an adrenaline rush and the crowd pushes him and he gets the halftime, which was huge, because if you burn a sub there, it gets really, really tricky. Using the stoppage at halftime doesn't count. So that was big. But he's going to do everything to get on the field, obviously. It hasn't gone perfectly, right? I'll be honest. It hasn't gone exactly how we had hoped. But I give him a ton of credit for all the work he put in to get us here. And I do think he'll do everything in his power to play a role in the game.
Talk to us about the game. LAFC, obviously, you only played them once a long time ago, but you're watching tape. You're talking this week. What's on the blackboard? What's the obvious stuff? And how do you go about trying to slow it?
Yeah, look, I think naturally everybody will say it's a great defense in the Union versus an incredible attack in LAFC. But, I do recognize they do such a good job counter-pressing, and I don't think they get enough credit for becoming also a little more direct. They can kind of win, scoop up second balls, and they have a real way of releasing and pressing you. So, sometimes what we all think, and I think sometimes we all go LAFC, oh, they just play this, they want to possess the ball and they just want to, put 100 passes together in sequences. They can kill you and are pretty ruthless on the counterattack. And if you're loose with passes, you're in big trouble. The one thing we've noticed too, when you do concede again, if they score a goal on you, you see a lot of mistakes by teams that they play against where they instantly try to throw numbers forward against LFC and then they kill you. And then it's over. And it's two and two becomes three. It plays right into their strength. So you never want to plan for conceding a goal early, but they're a team that if you concede, you have to remain calm. You have to stay disciplined and stick to your plan. So they're an incredible opponent. There's a lot of, players and people over there we have a lot of respect for. Steve Cherundolo, John Thorrington's a former teammate of mine, Ante Razov, Oka Nikolov. So they do a great job. Great team. We want to get into the individuals. You guys know the individuals, how good they are, and they're the types of players that don't let me sleep well at night. And we're trying to find ways to, you can't stop them, right? You can't completely stop them for 90 minutes, but can you now limit where their best players touch the ball, and where can that be on the field? Can we make Ily Sanchez play square and backwards rather than just pick his head up and start carving you apart? So it's all going to be based on pressure to the ball. If we don't have pressure to the ball in the day, we're going to be in big trouble. And I think our guys know that. Long-winded way of saying it's going to be a great game.
You went down on Sunday. You brought Corey Burke in to change the game. Is he pushing for a starting spot in this one?
Yeah, it's a fair question because he played so good. He really, really pushed really hard in the game and changed the game. So an amazing player. Corey's a great weapon off the bench. He's such a good change of pace for us. We'll probably lean towards keeping that change of pace off the bench. And look, I think I said it in the post game too. We have a way of wearing teams down because we're not fun to play against, And I say that as a compliment to us and our players, how hard they work. So it doesn't have to be perfect for 90 minutes. It doesn't have to be beautiful. We know we're playing on the road, which is going to be a real challenge against a great team. Corey is certainly a guy that's a nice piece to have, whether it's for 30 minutes, 35 minutes, or even if it goes extra time, the additional 30 minutes. So, it's going to be a real chess match, but Corey's a great piece to have off the bench for sure.
I saw in your media this week, you talked about 0-3.
Yeah.
That's the last time it was basically a 1-2 in MLS Cup, and you have three finals with the Union here, Open Cups. We won't talk about the results in those, but I wonder what you learned from those experiences.
The results is what you learn the most from. You know what I mean? So, look, you go into that game, I think I was 23, right? And you go, all week you're reading Landon saying I'm a good defender. Carlos Bocanegra is a great defender. I think I don't say he was setting a trap or anything, but we did read our headlines a little bit. We got caught up in that. And then the game starts and we concede in the first, couple minutes of the match and all of a sudden we chase the game. I did bring it up to our players and I didn't do it in a way to preach to them or they're their own men and their own players. But I did say, at 23 years old, when that final whistle blew, I remember walking off the field like, man, I want to get back here, and I never did. You know what I mean? So that's the one message that I did give them, and that was when the league had probably 12 teams. You know what I mean?
Your odds were much better,
and I never played another one. So, I gave them a little message to really embrace this and enjoy it, have fun, spend some time with your family, have laughs, and try to make it memorable, but also recognize, the moment, and you might never get another crack at it. It's that big of a game.
If the game isn't decided in regular time, you, Ante, John, jump on there, 2v2.
Oh, God. John and Ante are a lot more fit than me. I can't keep up with those guys. If we made it a steel cage match, I could maybe survive that, but those guys could beat me. Anything athletic, I'm in big trouble. Those guys are still.
I talked to Jesse yesterday. He said in his mind, LAFC are the favorite, but in his heart, he wants Jim to get the trophy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Jesse's a friend for sure, a guy that I stay in touch with, and obviously a huge win for all of us American coaches when they beat Liverpool the other day. So, he's no dummy. He knows what Las Vegas thinks and decides. Yeah. So yeah, they're the favorite. There's no question about that. But yeah, it's going to be a great game. And again, a lot of guys I really like on the other side too. So that makes it interesting. And they're good people, which is I'll just say a dying breed in this game.
Yeah, but if it comes to a cage match, Jim Curtin is taking those guys down, nice or not.
Oh, now you guys are going to run with that's the headline you guys are going to take.
Cage match, though. Okay. All right. We got to send you on your way, Jim. More media for you, but big thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
We'll stop the Prada jacket talk.
It's going to be too hot to wear any jackets. I just realized that. I think it's creeping up to 72 degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
It's getting a little warm, so no jackets.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, let's bring Doyle and Charlie back in here, and we will try to get a prediction from one of you guys. Doyle, let's start with you. Just for posterity, get you on the record, don't let you walk away. Anything that Jim said that interests you, and then I need a prediction from you
I thought it was really interesting the way he was talking about second balls, and then if you get overextended against LAFC, they will kill you. And he's watched the tape. He's seen the same things that I've said. I already gave my prediction. So if anybody wants it, just go to MLSsoccer.com, Armchair Analyst, Tactical Breakdown.
No, you don't. No. You go to MLSsoccer.com. You read that verbatim. You go read it. Just read it to
us. I'm not going to read it to you.
This is a different platform.
I picked 1-0 to the Union. And we haven't had a 1-0 MLS Cup final in a long time. But I feel like Andre Blake is going to stand on his head, in part because, look, he's playing for history in that if it ends 1-0, if he's the MLS Cup MVP in the way Sean Johnson was last year or Steph Fry in 2016, we probably start talking on Monday about him being the best MLS goalkeeper of all time. Like, he's in that discussion already anyway, but we would be at the point where nobody really has a better argument other than longevity. I just feel like it's going to happen for him. And I think it's going to be an exciting game in spite of a low scoring final. Yeah.
Daniel Gosdog is up next for us as we wait for him. Charlie, Gosdog was not among the three finalists for the Landon Donovan MLS MVP. His teammate Andre Blake was third. Sebastian Giroussi second, and number one, the winner, Hani Mukhtar, is the MVP. What did you think about Hani as MVP and the voting behind that?
Can we first start with the best 11 and Arango being a finalist for MLS MVP, not in the best 11? Does that make sense to you?
Sure. You take that wherever you'd like to go with it.
But Hani Mukhtar deserves it.
Because he knows that you're the one who decides.
Yeah, he was phenomenal this season. He absolutely proved he's got what it takes to be the MLS MVP. Nashville weren't as strong defensively this year, and that's why we haven't seen them make a run into the postseason. But as far as his quality, I mean, he won me over at MLS All-Star, seeing him in the skills competition and seeing how players were kind of like wowed by him. So for me, yeah, it makes sense. Absolutely.
Charlie only votes for MVP based off the skills challenge.
Nobody here. Brandon
Vasquez can't go to the World Cup. It's all about the skills challenge.
A big skills challenge guy myself. We need to have that a couple times a year. Yeah, look, if you can't hit those volleys in the top corner,
you can't hit a crossbar, what are you doing?
Minnesota in the middle of the summer, what are we even talking about?
MLS MVP, okay. I don't know.
All right, but look, he's best 11. Brandon Vasquez was best 11 as well. I got to tell you. Go check it out, MLSsoccer.com. By the way, another best 11 player is sitting down with us now. We'll come back to you, Doyle and Charlie, Daniel Gosdog. Daniel, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us. Congratulations, by the way. Not on best 11, but you're the David Goss Theorem Player of the Year. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the David Goss Theorem is?
That means a lot for me.
Okay, now explain what it is.
What it means is, in MLS, it's a unique league, as you've experienced. A lot of people move here from other countries. It takes a while. So we have an issue where fans and pundits.
Some pundits.
Pointing out, and there's other people that are not here. They like to judge a player immediately. And sometimes it takes a while, right? And for you, last year to this year, is an example of what we've coined as the David Goss Theorem. I'm David Goss, not Goss.
That's his theorem. We didn't coin it. He coined it.
It takes that year, and you have to give players an opportunity. But for you, obviously from last year to this year, it seems like a lot has changed, and now you are best 11 player in MLS.
Exactly. I needed some time last year to get used to the league, to my teammates, to the city. It was new for me, the new country. So I need time to get used to everything, you know. And this year was much better.
See? Got to give players time. For all the Austin fans out there with Ragone, he was getting torched on Monday. It takes time, right?
Exactly.
See?
What's different for you this year, Daniel? Like, on the field, with your teammates, it seems like the chemistry that you have with those two forwards up top, the way you play, it's been set up for you, and you've taken full advantage. What's different?
Yeah, I would say the chemistry. That's the difference. Last year, I felt that there are some good players in the team, but we didn't have the chemistry between each other. They didn't know me, I didn't know them. This year we had more time together, And with Julian and Mikael, we have very good chemistry together. We scored a lot of goals. We laugh a lot off the field. So yeah, that's important.
We see you guys at Sixers games and Phillies games and doing everything together.
Going out to dinner, Instagram reporting.
Yeah, it feels like you guys are a great group on and off the field. Talk to us a little bit about what you see on the field, because you're the goal scorer, but you're playing behind them. What is it that you read in their game where you say, this is when I'm going to make that break?
I mean, I could score a lot of goals from the second line. They are really good in holding the ball, and then they pass to me, and then I can score. That's it.
It's easy.
You weren't an MVP finalist. Did you take that personally? Were you frustrated by that, given the season that you had?
Exactly. I was a little bit frustrated after. I was disappointed as well. I was working for that the whole season. That was one of my motivations to be there. It hurts, but I went through on it. So now I'm good, and my full focus on the final.
Did you look at the Golden Boot standings all year? Were you following Drewsi and I can't even remember, Hani Mukhtar?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say the whole year I was looking at it, but at the end of the season, I was looking at
it. Okay.
How can you help it? Can I ask you this? I was looking through sort of your career, and I see cup finals, but is this the biggest club match of your career, this final, MLS Cup?
I played already three final with my old club, two Hungarian Cup, and one championship final. But I would say this is one of the biggest.
What's it like for you the week before a final? Do you get nervous?
Are you I'm excited.
Okay.
Is your family going to be here?
Yeah, they are here already.
Already here?
Yeah.
Okay.
They came with us.
What in the stadium? Ready to cheer you on?
What does a post-game Hungarian celebration look like?
We drink a lot.
What did they tell you when you came to Philly about the plan? Like, is this the expectation for you, that you would come here and you would be in finals, that you would be competing for trophies like this?
Yeah, I think they brought me here for this.
All right. We want to ask you one question before you go. We've got Ali Bedoya waiting to come. He's captain for the team. What does he mean to this group? What's it like playing with him?
He's very important for us. he's been out for some games during the season, and we struggled a lot without him. So, yeah, he's very important for us.
Because when he's in, then you have to run less, right?
Exactly.
That's your advantage.
And he gave me a very good ball, so.
There you go.
I have to ask you one thing. You guys beat England 4-0. You scored a goal. The U.S. is going to get England in the World Cup. How does the U.S. beat England in the World Cup? What's the advice from someone who's done it on a big stage?
Just be brave. They're their own game, And I'm sure they are capable to win that game.
There you go.
Maybe the union will get it done on Saturday as well. Daniel, thank you so much, man.
Appreciate it.
Congratulations on the David Goss Theorem Player of the Year Award.
And it's a huge
award.
That's
the most important.
There's no trophy, there's no bonus, but it's all about pride for you.
But you all know that that's important.
No, don't worry. There's trophies and stuff coming. I'm just still working on the
branding. Watch the mail. All right, Daniel Goss, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, guys.
Enjoy the media day here. We'll have Ali Bedoya coming up. We'll wait to see when he comes. We're watching his gait very closely and his hip flexor. Nice. As well, let's bring Charlie and Doyle back in right now. And Charlie, I'm going to need your prediction as well, man. We got Doyle's. What is your prediction?
I've said LAFC are going to win this game.
Okay. Would you like to extrapolate? Really
like it. Yeah, right?
I know.
Yeah.
What? Actually, Bedoya is ready. So, Charlie, once again, you're going to have to take second fiddle for your
unfortunately, from your boy from BC. Charlie, our favorite BC Eagle is on his way over.
We're second fiddle for Charlie.
What's up, man?
I see you. You're walking pretty well, Ali. I saw you on the bike and with your family in Huntington Beach. I didn't see any hitch in the.
A bike's good to work out, It gets me. You get the blood flowing.
Intensity.
Yeah, it keeps it
low impact.
I'm a little bit more flexible. So, no, it's good, man. I'm just going to do whatever I can to get out there, So, definitely work in progress.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah.
That's for you to decipher. Okay. I'm going to let you guys.
Keep it cryptic.
Yeah, I train a little bit today on the side, and, we'll see where that leads.
All I know is that you were healthy enough to do the trophy lift. after the Eastern Conference Final, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was struggling. You know, it was a little limping up those steps. Mm-hmm. But no, I was. I mean, you know, come on, it's all pure adrenaline at that point. You don't care about anything. So I was happy to lift that trophy.
What did it mean to lift that trophy? Obviously, the big one is for Saturday. But in this club's journey, in your journey. Last year, you had to watch NYCFC do that. This year, you get that opportunity to celebrate in the locker room. You can tell how much it means to everybody involved at the club. For the first time you're here, this is what it's about. What did it mean to you?
I mean, it meant a lot, right? Just the culmination of all the work that we've put in, you know, over the years since I've been here and then over the past year, too, you know, with that bitter taste in our mouths from that defeat. There was no way we were going to lose to NYCFC again at our place, you know, with our full team there. So. Like I said, it's just a testament to everything we've you know, accomplished thus far and how hard we work for that. You know, I think the regular season that we put this season together is just unbelievable. And a lot of hard work went into it. And I think it's a credit to all the guys, the new guys who came into the team, buying into, you know, the way we play and understanding the roles. And it's just, the progression of this team since I've been here of this club has been incredible. I mean, it's not often you see this, like, nice linear progression of, you know, of what we've
been
accomplishing.
First playoff win, first trophy, and it just keeps rolling.
It keeps rolling, so I hope it keeps rolling.
What are you most proud of in that journey? Like, we'll be very focused, and everybody is on the results, on the game on Saturday, whether or not you win MLS Cup. But I imagine for you, though, that is the culmination. There's this huge amount of effort, like physically, emotionally, mentally, that goes into all this. What are you most proud of?
I would just say the character of the team that we've developed, you know. Like I said, like coming into play in the system of play, it's not easy the way we play. It's not for everybody, but just whoever steps in, you know, has been really understanding of the role. The locker room culture we've created, you know, the guys we have in here, it's just such a unique, diverse team. And I think just putting all that together, you know, we really, you know, we couldn't control what we controlled last year, but this year we said that, you know, we're going to do everything we can to get back to this point and get to MLS Cup, and we've done that. And I think when I speak about character, I speak about, I love to hear the word resilience, right? Because going down 1-0 at home, I think in prior years, or at least when I first got here, this result, we would have never been able to come back from it. But now, you know, you look at the guys and who we have on a team, come back down 1-0. Blake made a monster save.
Yep.
A guy, Burke, off the bench, you know, comes some redemption, you know, and then just beasting everybody on the field. I mean, to come back 3 and win 3-1 is just, I'm just so proud of the team.
When you look at LAFC, when you look at Saturday, like, what's the challenge compared to what that last game was? Who can the Union be in this game?
We're just going to be ourselves. We play pretty much the same way, you know, home or away. It's just to make it very difficult on the opposing team, stay compact defensively, you know, from front to back, and everybody just working for each other. You know we got to make certain rotations here and there because LAFC is good at, you know, rotating the ball, switch of play, and they have good technical players. But, you know, I think you look at that game against Austin, the last game, they just gave them too much respect, too much space. That's something we're not going to do, you know. So it's make life miserable for them and then hit teams on the counter and transition. But in between, you know, to be able to stay calm and possess the ball a bit, I think we can do that as well as we showed against NYCFC last game. So, you know, just mix it up and just be that team that is so difficult to break down and play against. That's who we are.
What would this MLS Cup mean to the Union, to Philly, to you, if you do get to lift that trophy, if you get to bring it back to Chester, into the city? What would it mean? Like, can you put that into words, or is it too early to think like that?
Oh, it's just, yeah, I really can't put that into words right now. I doubt I can put it into words if we do that. But like I said, the fact that we're here is just a culmination of all the work in progress, you know, and you know, the reason why I came here, I was sold on the project and the ambition of the club, where I think as supposed to before, it wasn't quite like that. I mean, people didn't respect Philly like they do now, right? So we've come a long way, and I think just to be able to win it, it just shows, just proves, you know, the whole concept, the whole, you know, behind the scenes things that have been going on with our academy and development and just the way we put our team together. It's that Philly underdog mentality spirit, and I think the fans will really respect how we've been able to do things our way, you know, the Philly way.
All right, Duke.
Same time next year, we'll do it again, Ale, right?
I hope so. Yeah, that's fun. You know, I feel good. I felt great. Obviously, I'm injured now, of course, but I think during this season, obviously, at 35, I've been able to put one of a stronger season. And you look at the numbers all across the board, I've had a good year, and I don't plan on slowing down anytime
there
soon.
Yeah,
only one way to cap it for the Union. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. We'll watch the gate as he goes. Get report back to you folks. No, he's all right. Ah, he's faking on us. He's faking on us right now. Charlie, we cut you short on your prediction. Yes. Did you take disrespect about the BC Eagles comments, or are you willing to continue to contribute to this show?
There he is. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ollie.
Right, here you
come
go.
On he in. Said. He said.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah,
what's he saying?
Tell him what you said, Charlie. Charlie, tell him who you said you thought was going to win this
Without
game.
Without Alejandro Bedoya, LAFC win.
I got a chuckle out of Ollie. That's you're not going to be able to live that one.
I know.
You're not going to be able to live that one down. All right. See, explain to us why, as we wait for LAFC to roll through this
all
media
the people
day.
Out there listening, you could tell Jim Curtin, Alejandro Bedoya, the way they're talking about his playing, he's going to be a part of it somehow. It's not for sure he's playing in this game no matter what, or he's starting. We're going to find a way for him to be a part of this thing. He's not playing. Let's be real. He's not playing. 25 minutes, they talked about burning us up before halftime and how Jim was like, oh, that would have been crazy. That could have changed some things. He's not starting. That's for sure. I don't think he plays in this game. And Alejandro Bedoya wants to play for a long time. Like he's not even close to being finished. You're not going to risk injuring yourself to be out a whole nother year by really putting yourself in a bad situation. So for me, he's going to be that ultimate cheerleader, but he's not going to be playing tomorrow Saturday.
Unfortunately, Charlie says not.
I'm a realist.
For the Union. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern, Fox Univision, 2 day in. Should be a good one, MLS Cup.
Charlie Davies doesn't understand, so we don't have his audio. He's in Massachusetts. He's
Steve,
yelling
Steve
your name
can't
right
hear
now,
you,
though.
Charlie.
How did you mean that, Charlie Davies doesn't understand?
He doesn't understand. They can't hear you, and he keeps screaming everyone's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, he's trying to communicate. Obviously,
very excited to see you, though.
Steve Cherundolo
yeah, thank you.
Here
What's
with
up,
us,
Charlie?
Now. Let's start with this, Steve. You're here, man. It's been a lot of MLS Cup talk for this team basically since the inception of LAFC, and now you're here. What does that represent to the club? Like, what would it mean? What's it mean to get here? What would it mean to win?
Well, I think if you have had the opportunity to be at the bank and experience our fans, I think you know what it means to the city and to our fans, and that's why we're here, and we're ecstatic we can give them a final. We'd love to put something on top of it as well.
You got here because of the performance against Austin. You said it. We saw it. Maybe the best game you've played all year, definitely in a while. What came together that went right for that game?
Well, my exact words were, I think the players implemented our game plan, our match plan, quite emphatically and in a disciplined manner, over 90 minutes. And that doesn't always happen. Part of it takes the opponent as well. So, yeah, we were happy with the performance and the results. I still don't know why the fourth goal was called back. Maybe I'll get an answer from Pro. But
hopefully after MLS Cup,
should we
you
just
won't care
this
anymore.
Into a debate on deflections and what counts as a deflection?
Yeah,
I mean,
when the ball is 40 yards in the air, maybe it's not a deflection.
I would agree with you.
But we were happy with the performance, and we're in a good moment. But this is a completely different game, completely different opponent, and the game will look much different.
So let's go big picture here and sort of the whole season now to get to this point. You know, Bob set the foundation in LA and you've taken over, but you've had to put your own stamp on things. And there's been so much change this year. And Jim said he really admired the way in the middle of the year with so many different chops and changes that were made, you were able to handle that, right the ship in a way, get back to where you wanted to be and make this push. Tell me about this year from your perspective. How did you put your stamp on this team?
Well, there was a lot to go off of. And our current coaching staff with Ante and Mark and Oka, Mark and Oka joined the group. Mark had a previous stint with LAFC. Ante has been here since day one. And huge part of our game model and Bob as well. And so there's a lot to go off of. But bringing my own personal philosophy in basically means just being a little more well-balanced in all phases of the game. So if the game shows you something else, you still have the tools and the means to win in that fashion as well. And I think that's what we tried to achieve, and I think we saw some great examples of that this year.
We talked about Jim Curtin, and he spoke about you. You guys are the same age. You're from that same generation of sort of, you didn't play in MLS, but the first generation that came through, and we see what Jesse Marsh is doing and so many other young coaches, Greg Vanney. What is your generation sort of, how can you all affect the game in this country? And is there a conversation of sort of all sharing ideas and working together?
I don't think there's a conversation going on. If there is, it's without me.
Come on, give me the group chat, guys. Yeah.
But I would love for that to happen. I think it's very important that we all are giving back in a way and trying to progress the game because others did it for us. And that's always been my objective of when I did decide to come home was to give the lessons I learned and the tools that I was given in Germany predominantly. Back to players here in the United States, and that's what I try to do on a daily basis.
It takes a lot of managers an entire career, some never get there, to get to this point. You're here in year one, you didn't play in this league, now you get MLS Cup in sort of your first year as a manager. That's kind of incredible. Have you reflected at all on that, or is it just sort of like a whirlwind for you?
It truly has been a whirlwind because I moved my family halfway across the globe, put my kids in a new school, not for selfish reasons because we think it's better for the entire family. But to answer your question, it's been a lot this year. I'll have time to reflect in November.
Do people not think about that balance for managers? Because I talked to Jesse on Tuesday, and he was talking about sort of the lifestyle, the unique lifestyle that he and his family have to live. That's a part of your job that people never seem to talk about. They talk about players adapting. We don't talk about managers adapting necessarily.
Yeah, it's massive. And I think every aspiring coach should understand it comes with challenges. There's a lot of travel. There could be moves. And if that's okay for your family, then by all means. But there are challenges.
You said this year's been a lot, and a lot of that was in the summer. Would Carlos Vela be back? Would he not? The other big ones were Chiellini and Gareth Bale. What's been the experience working with them, and what is Gareth Bale to this team where we haven't seen him in the playoffs yet?
He's the same that he was for Real Madrid. He's an extremely talented player who can come in, an accomplished player, and change the game with one stroke. And he still has that ability, shows us in training nearly every day. And if need be, we will use it.
Can I ask you, what does this mean to Carlos Vela? What's that mean to him? Because, like, Bob had trouble with that, and then he did it the other day.
You're not the only one.
Like, what does that mean to you, Carlos? Like, usually that means I'm ready to come off, but it might not mean that to...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's universal, and that's what it should mean. Carlos and I have had a pretty outstanding relationship since day one. Only I've asked is just straight shooter, and tell me how you're feeling, and tell me what you want. And I will do the same. And that's how we've gone about the entire season. Subbing as well. When players come off and they're a little upset, it's actually a good sign to me.
Yeah.
And so that's something that we laugh about afterwards.
The big name the last few weeks has been Chicho Arango. There was rumors all summer, would he be here, would he not? And one of the questions that came out, not from you, but was, does he fit your style? What is it about his attributes that work for you, and what's been so successful over the last few weeks?
Any player has the ability to score goals fits my style.
There you go. Okay.
So Chicho does exactly that. But on top of it, he's learned at what moments in the game are important for us to press and to play with a little more intensity. And he's added that to his toolbox and has made strides. And so he's in, and I can't think of an LAFC without him right now.
Speaking of intensity pressing the team you're going up against, mm-hmm. they bring that every single match. Tell us about the Union from your point of view.
It's a fantastic group. It speaks to the success piece for continuity in this league. Sticking to a style of play and understanding their identity and staying within that identity. And if you do that, you can accomplish a lot of things like they've accomplished. It's a very difficult team to play against and to try to put our stamp on the game because they are constantly, constantly fighting against you and try to turn the game to their tide or to their favor. Jim's done an amazing job. I'm extremely happy for him and his staff. But they're not unbeatable. And it's going to take a few bright moments for us, and it's going to take a lot of running, a lot of courage from our players. But I think we've shown we're up for this the challenge.
To the PR guy over here.
Yeah, we have to let you go.
Yeah, we got to let you go, Steve.
Don't worry, we're going to bring Gareth in.
Yeah.
You're not going to bring Carlos after that?
I don't know that he wants
I don't
to
see him around.
About.
He's not around here. That's weird. But yeah.
You guys seem to get along well, so put in a good word for us, please.
Yeah, I will. All right.
Thank you so much,
good luck.
Steve. All right. rolling along here at Media Day at MLS Cup. You know the drill. Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern. Fox, Univision Turin, LAFC, Supporters Shield winners going for the double. On tiebreaker, the Union not quite there, and that is why they won't host this thing in their very first MLS Cup, but they are hungry for it. Any thoughts from that Steve interview? Charlie, we'll start with you.
He's a very coy and smart manager. He's got away with words. I think he knows exactly how to get at this Union team. He's expecting them to press, be aggressive. I think Jim's trying to let off that, oh, we got to be smart. We're going to be cautious. We're going to be, you know, defend a little bit more. I think Philly's going to go for it right off the bat. Philly has matched up well in the past with LAFC. Remember that Jacob Glesnes rocket. So they've had success against LAFC. They're not afraid. I think they're going to try to duplicate the same way they play at Subaru Park in Philadelphia, in Chester. They're going to be aggressive. They're going to push. That's how you get at LAFC. Don't sit back and let them get into a rhythm, get in and get comfortable, press them, create turnovers, get at them. I think the Union are going to do that. And I think Steve knows we have to be smart. And when they do throw Kai Wagner and Baizo forward, that's where we're going to get them. You can expose the Union when you play into those channels, when you use width and you expose the outside backs, because that area is always free. Pull Glesnes out into the side areas and into the channels. Pull Jack Elliott out there. Create that space. That's how the LAFC is going to do it, and I think that's the game plan that Steve Trundle is going to stick with.
All right, Ryan Holling said, waiting to be pulled in with us, Dave. I'm saving my prediction for last because I still don't know what I'm going to say, but maybe you have a prediction you've already settled upon? You can't accuse me of stealing your content this time around.
No, I've had to do it 15 times, and I have no idea what I'm going to say. I want to do what Doyle did and say, just go read it on the MLS Soccer to come, but I don't think I ever sent it, so I apologize, Edgar, for that one. Sitting right next to Ryan Holland's head right now, would say I picked the Philadelphia Union to win the whole thing. Please don't look at me that way. That's really disappointing. I do think it's a 50-50 draw. I can't believe you're making me do this. But I will say, when you look at what LAFC has gone up against and what Philly brings, Andre Blake is different. And even Brad Stuver was incredible last game, but Blake's been different. And I look at a Philly team, and Brian can tell us a little bit more about it. I just think the direct nature of their center forwards is completely different from what the Galaxy brought and what Austin brought. And so I think that's a challenge they haven't had to face, and it's a challenge that Philly has been elite at this year. Hey, Ryan.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
You got here a little early.
Yeah, you predicted the Philadelphia Union winning it a while ago, though, right?
Yes,
like
I did.
A long time ago.
And that's why
just going to say you don't have a chance to change your
answer. That's exactly what happened.
So,
yeah, look.
Fair enough.
You know, it goes in the history books. You can't go in with the eraser.
Right.
Look, we're extremely happy to have you here, the second most famous mustache in MLS after Tom Bogert.
Ooh, yeah. Sasha
could have a shout in there, too. I think yours is very nice, though. This was supposed to be Giorgio Chiellini's. That's okay.
Yeah.
We like longtime MLSers here. Can you give us your best Giorgio impression, though? Is that something that you have in the locker?
Oh, my gosh. What does he love to say? I'm not the best with impressions, but his is he's more like a hands guy.
Yeah,
like
because he's Italian.
Yeah, he's Italian, right? Like, he's always just like, but what? He's like, and his facial expressions are so good. I'm not going to butcher it, but we gotta get him back on or find him after the game or something. He's amazing, though. He's just such a good guy to have around.
So we opened the show talking about the tickets for this game. It's L.A. That's a big deal. I think we said $15,000, some of the tickets.
That's on the high end. Yeah, that's on the high end.
Are you getting hit up a lot? A lot of random people coming out of the woodwork for you?
Oh, yeah. I've already sold about a dozen tickets, so I'm good. Like, I don't need any bonuses. I'm good to go. Yeah. Once I saw that, I was like, yeah, give me as many tickets. No,
how many tickets can I get?
Yeah. Can I get 20? No, man, it's I think a testament to what LA has done here. The environment they've created, the culture they've created around this team. People are willing to pay big bucks to come see a really big game here. And honestly, my one fear, I guess my one hope, though, is that it doesn't price out the guys and the gals and the kids and the everybody who's been with us from day one. I hope it doesn't price them out. I want them there. We need them there. And so for us, it's a home game. So we need our supporters there. So I hope it doesn't price those people out that have been with us from day one.
What's your favorite part of the game experience as a player?
Dude, it's hard to put your finger on one thing, but it's the 32-52, like, just brings a different dimension to the games. So when we walk into that stadium and they start chanting even, you know, before the first whistle, it immediately puts us at home and it immediately puts the opponent on their heels. You know, like they have to not only respond to us on the field, but they have to respond to the crowd and the fans. And so it gives them like a little jitteriness, if that's a word, and if it's not, still a great word. So, and I think it's just, it's just such a huge advantage for us, to be able to play in front of them and be at home.
One of the things that we talked about last week together was you're the leading goal scorer for a defender in MLS. Kai Wagner set a record for assists for a defender. You guys are going to be on the same side of the field. We assume, you don't have to give me the lineup, but I would guess that. What's that battle for you, and sort of what's that experience defending behind Vela and sort of dealing with that right-hand side?
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, you know, MLS best 11 caliber player, and he showed that before and got it this year, which is awesome. I think a way that you kind of fight against a player like that, a team like Philly in general, is you try to dictate the pace of the game, you try to have the ball, you try to be the one in control of the game. And so I would put Carlitos up against anybody in this league. Even when you know what he's going to do, you still can't stop him. Like, he's just elite in the final third, and an elite player, so huge for us. And I think Kai's going to have his hands full with that. So with him having his hands full, I'm thinking he's not going to get it forward as much as he has in the past. And that's going to help me in defensively, help me big time. And then, you know me, you've watched me for enough years now. Like, I'm going to pick and choose my times, and I'm going to find space to get into the box. And I know that they'll be expecting that, but if I can find the right times, I can get myself into dangerous areas. And I like to say, for most games, I'm going to get at least one solid chance to score. And in a game like this, as a final, need to take advantage of it when I do.
So you came over via trade from FC Dallas early in the year, and MLS Cup has always been sort of the stated objective. When you walked in the doors, how like explicit was that?
Yeah, first phone call when the trade went through, hopped on the phone with John and Thorington, and he just immediately, in the first 2 minutes of us talking, he's like, "Hey, we're putting together a championship team. We're trying to win a championship now, not 3 to 5 years. We're not trying to build something here over the long term. We're trying to do it now, and of course over the long term as well. But it starts 2022." And he's like, "That's one of the reasons we wanted to bring you in here, is we want to fight for a championship immediately." They obviously had a rough season last year, and so they wanted an immediate change. And honestly, I think they've even outdone their own expectations on what they did this year and who they brought in, and kind of the culture they've created. It's special to be a part of.
But mid-season, it started to slip a little bit. From the outside, it was very unique in all the player changeover for a team so successful. Then you still won the Shield. Internally, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like we were playing at a really high level, had a lot of really good pieces, and then they were still moving. I think they made even 5 or 6 more moves in terms of guys leaving, new guys coming in. And I think in the middle of a season like that, when you're so used to playing with a certain handful of guys, a certain handful of attackers, and then those guys get kind of transferred out, new guys come in, there's always a learning curve to get those guys up to speed, not only for us as like the existing players that are here to learn the way they want to play, but also for them, like internationally, moving families overseas, just the logistics of getting a house and getting settled and getting food and getting kids in school and all that stuff. There's so many things that go on behind the scenes that people don't think about that affects how we're playing on the field. And so you gave them time, these guys that came in gave them time to get settled, and you can see kind of the level we're playing at now is different. And I think for me, being in this league for a long time, it's different than a lot of what I've seen over the last 10 years.
You haven't been in MLS Cup final. What are you most excited for? Is the party already planned afterwards, or is that jinx territory? How do you?
Yeah, no, I don't believe in jinxes, so no. But I have obviously a ton of family coming down to come watch the game. We're gonna do everything we can to be lifting that cup in front of the 32-52 at the end of the day. It's football, man. Anything can happen. It's a one game elimination. It's not aggregate. It's not home and away. It's just anything can happen. So. You never know, but I think with our talent and the guys that we have, if we play our best football, we're unbeatable. So, and I would say that against Philly, I'd say that against any team in this league. So it's on us, man. I think we're the favorites being at home, but also favorites because of our talent. And so if we can put it all together and play the way we want to play, we see ourselves lifting the cup.
I'm convinced. I'm changing my pick.
Yeah, there we go. Pick.
No. Yes. Don't be swayed like that.
Yes.
Ryan's here.
Yeah.
Giorgio Chiellini.
Giorgio. Hey. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. We'll send you on your way to more stops here at Media Day.
Awesome.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Okay, so I guess that means as we wait for Maxime Crépeau, I think everybody's given their prediction. I think we're covered all the bases.
Did you give yours?
Everything has been said that could possibly be said.
Can you hear Charlie?
I don't think you gave yours, Weeby.
Did you give yours?
Anders, we've got an audio issue. I see Charlie's mouth moving.
I'm pretty sure Felipe Martins just walked into the room and said, who are you picking?
Right. No, I'll let Weeby be the coward this time.
I heard Doyle laugh.
Oh.
Okay.
It's fine.
Nice.
That's normally Doyle's territory.
Yeah, but Doyle's getting on a plane.
I have not sent in my pick either. Again, sorry, Ed Edgar. I apologize. I thought that
we already know his pick is Montreal.
Get ahead of that.
All right. So that's who we think is going to win on Saturday.
That's true.
You haven't even given your pick to Edgar yet?
I haven't. No. Edgar, by the way, is the editor-in-chief of MLSsoccer.com. Edgar, if you're listening and or watching, I'm so sorry. I will send it to you immediately after this, and I'm forming it right now. I'm going with LAFC. I think at home, with the talent that they have, with sort of the mission that they've been on, I liken it back to what Jesse Marsh told me on Tuesday. And by the way, a wonderful interview with him on Leeds, USMNT, and many other things coming out next week. That, like he said, his head was with LAFC. But his heart was with the Union, and I sort of feel that way too, because we've all seen what the Union were. Like we've talked about on this show, like I remember the Nick Sakevich, like Sons of Ben coffin incident. I remember sort of the joke that the Union were in some of those early years. They're just like, man, they cannot get out of their own way. Like this team is destined to be sort of buried long term, and they climbed their way out and they dug their way out. So my heart is with them. But in LA at Bank of California Stadium, Carlos Vela, Chicho, Dennis Bouanga, it's a list. I could go through the whole team, but you get the picture. I just think that the overall talent advantage is LAFC's, and I think in front of their own fans with the mission they're on, I don't think they're going to fall short.
Did all three of you pick LAFC?
I picked the Union.
He picked the Union.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
So we got a good split. Yeah, we got a split.
Because I remember last year we did a preview show for the season and all of you picked LAFC to win the double, right? Was that it?
This is my redemption arc.
It was me that picked LAFC to win the double. Gassman, you had us all convinced that the Crew were going to be one of the best teams in MLS history.
Best returning MLS Cup roster playoffs of all time.
Oh, gosh. He had receipts on that. Sorry,
how'd Michael Estrada work out for you?
He never listened to a single thing David says in the preseason. That's the rule. That's the real David Goss theorem.
In fairness, let's go back and listen to Doyle's comments on Daniel Gosdag last year, and then we'll know where we stand. I don't know what you said.
I said a young man with lots of potential.
All right. Listen. MLS Cup, Saturday, November 5th, 4 p.m. Eastern, Fox, Univision 2DN. We will have a show that we are debating when and where to record it, but will come out sometime on Sunday for you, wrapping everything up. Probably not a Brown Hooker special. Could be one. TBD. We'll make that call on the fly. But this is it, man. Saturday, 2 days away. Prepare yourselves. All the coverage, MLSsoccer.com and the MLS app. Big thank you to all the guests who stopped by here as well. A little bit heartbroken not to talk to Maxime Crépeau about PKs, but I'm sure he will have to answer to that in the media. Pre-game, post-game, MLSsoccer.com, all the MLS channels. All right, that's it for us. Big thanks to you, Charlie, Doyle, Goss, everybody who produced this thing. Thank you very much. We're out of here. Adios.